What follows is meeting number 3 of 6 of the 2013 team reunion, recorded Thursday evening, May 30th, 2013 in Austin, Texas.
Jesus! Amen. Well, it's wonderful to be here in the team reunion. And tonight we move on to another chord, which is the students. And tonight we'll actually have quite a few testimonies during the message. So my speaking will be a little bit more abbreviated, and I think your speaking will be more accentuated. So we've covered a lot so far. Haven't you enjoyed the speaking up to this point? And I think we're all impressed. We want to be fruit-bearing branches in the vine. And the Lord needs to have great mercy on all of us, that we would not become lukewarm, dead, and barren, right? But the Lord would vitalize us. And not only individually, of course, we need that personal, intimate touch with the Lord. We need to be so living personally, touching Him, enjoying Him, even kissing Him in the morning. Lord Jesus, I love you. We need to rise up day by day and be vivified by Him. But not only so, we really need to be grouped. Our desperate need is to be grouped with one another so that the Lord can have a way to bear consistent remaining fruit. Amen. And I think the Lord's impressed us up to this point. So tonight, with this matter in our thinking so much, we need to bear remaining fruit. We need to see who is so critical in this whole process, because without these persons, it'd be very difficult in many of our experiences to have this kind of remaining fruit. And so tonight we move on to the critical role of our students. Let's all read the title to this message, number 3, after your white tab. Let's read this title all together. Ready? Go. So tonight we come to this matter of the students, and we have to be so impressed that God's move is always with young people. You know, the Lord loves every age and stage in His body, clearly, but when He moves on this earth, He always moves with young people. And so today, as we've seen the charts put on the board, God has sovereignly gathered so many young people in the colleges and universities on campuses all over this earth. And as we saw the 2%, the powerful 2%, right, are the college students. And we saw particularly the 3 million freshmen that come in wave after wave, year after year, that are coming towards us. The question is, are we ready? Are we ready for this next 3 million? The first stage of this 3 million for us here in Austin is this Wednesday. This coming Wednesday, we have the first edge of that wave coming towards us. It's a tidal wave. And you know what? That wave will come out at us week after week, just like being on the beach. We'll just be sitting there on the UT beach, which is concrete and steel, and these waves of students will just be coming. And the question is, are we ready? Are we grouped? Are we praying? Are we available? Because this very critical group of persons is coming, and we have to be ready and available so that the Lord can catch them. So tonight we'll spend quite a bit of time to consider these persons, the students, and their role on the campuses in bearing remaining fruit. Now, of course, I would say to all of us students, the students are critical, but you're critical especially if you're grouped. You know, none of us is a Superman. None of us by ourselves are an individual hero. Actually, if we look at you, we're all a big zero. We go from hero to zero, right? But when we are grouped together, you know what? There is a container that the Lord can use to contain His poured out blessing in these precious young vessels that are coming to us in waves. And if we are grouped and we are praying, then the Lord can catch these particular ones. So let's take a look at this outline now. And we'll go through it and we'll have a number of testimonies. But let's just start with Roman numeral 1 here. Let's read this all together. Go. You know, we need to bear fruit in all areas, in all stages of our human life. And everyone before the Lord, all vessels are equally precious to Him. So whether a person is 80 years old or 8 years old, as far as receiving Him, the Lord loves them just the same. And we knew we need to preach the gospel. You know, one brother I went with, he was on the campus with me. And we would go visit his grandfather. And his grandfather turned 100. And you know what? His grandfather got dynamically saved. Praise the Lord, right? And then just a few weeks later, through some prayer and so forth, his grandfather got baptized. And then a few weeks later, his grandfather went to be with the Lord. Praise the Lord! So it's wonderful. He got saved. He got put into the triune God. And then he met his maker face to face, right? So, but the problem is he's not here with us today laboring with us on the campus. He's actually with the Lord. So it's wonderful. And we're happy, so happy. And you know what? The heavens are rejoicing just the same that he got saved. But as far as the Lord's move is concerned, He's not with us. So today the Lord, in order to carry out His move on this earth, He must go to the young people. So that's why we have a target of our fruit bearing. And this target is the college students. And so we have three reasons here why we go to these students as the target. Letter A, let's read it. Go.
Unoccupied, gathered, and easy to repent.
So they are unoccupied. They don't have a mortgage, most of them. They don't have two car payments. They don't have. They're not worried about, you know, the kids' schoolwork that night. I mean, there's just, you know, they're unoccupied. They're so open, and they're gathered. My goodness, even 100 years ago, we had, you know, the Lord's workers had to go out into the fields, and you know, famous stories of great preachers traveling on horseback or walking. Or traveling great distances to go find these persons is paramount. But today, the Lord has gathered them all together. And this is surely the Lord's doing to gather all the college students, these young people, sovereignly in these universities and colleges. Because now, there they are gathered together in a small area, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of students. And they're just waiting. Really, you know, it's in our thinking, they're there to get an education. And they're thinking, on God's sovereignty, that's what they're there to do. Actually, they're gathered there for God's eternal purpose.
Amen.
And they're gathered there so that the gospel can reach them.
Amen.
And recently I heard a report, I think at UT Austin, there's 149 nations represented. Yeah. So how many more nations could we travel to? Not many more to cover the whole earth. But they're gathered at these particular places all over the earth, and they're ready and available for us to speak to, right? And then finally, they're easy to repent. That means they're easy to have a change in their mind, a change in their thinking, that is to receive the gospel and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Which is wonderful. So let's read these verses here in Matthew chapter 4 all together, 19 and 20. Go.
And he says to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." And immediately leaving the nets, they followed him.
They thought about it for a few days and considered it. Immediately. This represents what kind of persons they were. Immediately. You know, they left their nets. Whatever was in their hands, they just dropped it. They just dropped it and they took off. Why? Because they are a certain kind of person. Easy to repent, easy to turn, easy to pick up something new and even a new way. And so when the Lord Jesus appeared to these ones, you know what? He just said, follow me. And they just quickly, they just got up and they followed the Lord. So this represents something so divine and sovereign that these young people are gathered together and they're in this kind of condition and situation where they're ready to listen and receive and turn to the Lord. So wonderful. Okay. You know, in these quotes here, they just mainly emphasize these points here. You notice here, the first underline, the first reason is that the young people are not occupied. You know, with even when you reach the age of 25, 27, 29, 30, many people are already so occupied with a career path, with a married life, with so many things that it is hard for them to consider taking another way. So there's a unique window in these people's lives where they fit this qualification. Maybe from 17 to probably, well, really, in the most turnable time of their life, maybe just 2 or 3 years there. And they are so easy to turn when the Lord Jesus is presented to them and receive Him, and they receive another life. And that makes them so able to follow the Lord.
Amen.
So, the second reason here, this next quote, for going to the young people is the fact that so many young people are gathered in the schools. No other age is gathered together like this. Because the young people are gathered in the schools, it's easy to contact them. In order to catch fish, you must go where the fish are. I've testified about my brother-in-law, who's basically next to a professional fisherman. And when I go with him, he just does one thing. He wants to know where the fish are. That's it. And we go to different places, and we just check. Within a minute or two, he knows, are there fish here or no fish here? If no fish are there, do you think we hang out and hope some are going to show up? No. We move quickly on to the next place where he has a good idea that fish are, and usually he knows where they are. And we arrive, and sure enough, there's a big school of fish, and then he just starts pulling them in one right after the next because you have to go where the fish are. Well, these fish are gathered, and we all know where they are, right? Okay, and lastly there, the underline, it's easy to repent. Praise the Lord, we can all repent. Right? Lord Jesus, we repent, right?
Amen.
Repent for the kingdom. You know, as we get older, for some reason, it just gets harder and harder. The other day, I rebuked one of my kids, and then my wife, she learned this one phrase in Chinese that she's never forgotten from Taiwan. It's Nishu Ya Wei Gai. You need to repent. So that meant I had to go repent to my child. Oh, that was hard. That was hard. But they're so easy to repent. It's just so simple for them to have a turn and a change and just even open up and say, Lord Jesus, I receive you right now, you know. So this is wonderful. Then letter B, they're open. Let's read Acts 16:14. Go. And I just was impressed with this term, whose heart the Lord opened. You should circle that. Whose heart the Lord opened. And I believe in many instances on the college campuses, when we're around these young people, the Lord just opens their heart. And they're so open to receive Him. And this is the Lord's doing. The Lord does this. He just opens the heart of people, just like He did Lydia here. And this quote here from the ministry just says, no matter where they go, that is the brothers, they found that people's hearts are open. It says, the college students today are industrious and aggressive, and they are open to the gospel. So this is really marvelous, and this is why we go to the students, because their heart is open.
Amen.
Okay, then next, letter C, they're the future of the Lord's work. Without the young people, we have no future. And in traveling quite a bit in the last several years, we've just been to many, many cities where the churches are getting older and older. And this has created a fresh desperation in me, and I think in us brothers, that the Lord would produce fruit in the churches. The Lord must have a future. And there must be a future of the Lord's work, especially with the young ones. So we just have to be impressed that without the young people, sometimes they seem naughty, they seem this and that, but you know what? Therein lies our future. Even I consider my own life, my own person as a young person. I don't think I would have put much stock in myself, considering. I wasn't that impressive. I wasn't that much. But you know, by the Lord's mercy, some brothers were faithful to take care of me. And that, of course, I feel so indebted to those brothers. And I feel so thankful to those brothers. You know, sometimes the young people that we labor on, they just don't look that promising. Matter of fact, some of them don't look promising at all. But you know what? Those are the very ones that the Lord's future is in. Those ones are the very one that the Lord will entrust His future. The future of His recovery, the future of the Lord's move will be in these very ones. So in this little booklet entitled How to Lead the Young People, you know, our brother says we must always have a positive faith in the young people. And in that booklet he says, you know, those who aren't doing well, we shouldn't be too discouraged. And those who are, those who are doing poorly, we shouldn't be too discouraged. And those who are doing very well, we shouldn't be overly encouraged. Because we just don't know. The good ones may become bad. And the bad ones may become very good. We just have to learn how to sow the seeds. And as we do this, you know what? Our future can really be prepared. So to see the young people and have a heart for the young people is critical, because we have to realize that is the future. Today, I've been impressed in traveling to university after university. At all these universities, there's all of these huge recruitment centers. And so now all the large companies from the U.S. especially, but from all over the earth, have come to these universities and partnered with them, and they'll say, we'll give you X number of thousands or millions of dollars, and we'll build you a recruitment facility, but you have to put our name on the front of it, you know, whatever company that is. And the thing is they realize the future of their company lies where?
Right there.
Right there of the kids walking across that campus, walking through those doors. Their future lies right there. And so they are investing millions upon millions of dollars because they're businessmen, and they realize their future is right there. Well, how much more as believers in Christ who are in the divine enterprise to build up the body of Christ, do we have to be impressed where our future is? It's no less on the college campuses all over this earth. And so this matter of our future is critical. We have to be impressed and we have to be burdened. Lord, raise up our future.
Amen.
We really have to see this. Okay, Roman numeral 2. Let's read this one all together. Go.
Our student team best wants to contact the target.
I have to admit, even personally, years ago as a young full-timer, I would have questioned this point. I would have said, well, I'm a young full-timer. I've look pretty close to a student, and I've got a little more knowledge than the students, and a little more knowledge of the Word. I think I'm actually a little bit better, but actually, I would have been wrong.
That's right. Yeah.
Because the very best ones, the top ones, are their actual peers.
Exactly.
They're ones in class. They're ones walking across campus with them. These are the top ones to reach this target in the fruit bearing. And so we want to take a few minutes to look at this. So I love this quote here, this next one under, every young saint who's still studying in school should contact his fellow students one by one. How about students? If you're in college, how about you continue reading this quote here? Why don't you stand up and continue reading this quote with the best place, all right? All the students here, I want you to read this quote. Go ahead, be strong, be bold, and be loud. Ready? Go.
The best place to effectively contact people is your school. First, contact your classmates. Other students can be contacted at your convenience, but your classmates should be your target. You must remember to earnestly pray for your classmates and for your school.
Amen. Good. So these are the ones, these are the best ones. And these college students have to be impressed with this, and they have to be impressed with, even with this matter of praying for them. But we'll give a first pop-up here with Winnie and Sophia. Can y'all come on up?
Yes, hi, my name is Winnie. I'm serving in San Francisco, and this is Sophia. She is a student at SFSU. That's San Francisco State University. And we are here to testify that students are indeed the best ones to contact other students. To start off, I just want to give a little background of myself. So I've been serving for about 3.5 years now. And over these years, I just felt like I've grown less and less relatable to the students, not only because obviously I've grown older and I'm no longer a student, but I also got married and have kids. So they don't see me as their peers anymore. Even if they're the same age as me, they feel like, oh, I'm not in the same stage of life. They're single, they're student, they're studying, you know. So starting last fall, Sophia and I, we started meeting as a vital group. Every week we get together, we just pray and fellowship over the ones we are burdened for. And one of them was this girl, Jenny. She was a transfer student. I gave her a flyer during the welcome day. She came to our Freshman Connect, our welcome dinner. Yes, welcome dinner. And she met Sophia there. And they became connected. We prayed for her, and we just have burden for her to set up a weekly appointment with her. And she was open to it. We read with her every week. But then during this appointment, she was just quiet. She was just shy, reserved. And we found out she was meeting with another group on Lord's Day. So we felt she was more connected to that group, and I would try to make more connection with her, give her a ride, invite her over, go to visit her in her place. But I felt like all this, you know, would not be as effective if it were not for Sophia's frequent contact with her on campus. Okay, so I will let Sophia elaborate more.
Amen. So my contact with Jenny has included studying with her, having lunch with her, and exercising together. Outwardly, we do something together, but inwardly, I always had a sense that our time counts when we enter into fellowship. She opens up to me, and I open up to her, and mutually, we discover we have problems that students can relate to, and our problems are resolved by the exercise of our spirit.
Amen.
So I realized we need to have more human time with one another to know each other and then to help each other come to the Lord and touch the Lord in our spirit.
Amen.
So this semester, with our frequent contact with Jenny, the Lord is really able to advance in her and make her willing and comfortable around us. Besides coming to our Bible study on Wednesdays, she also started joining us on college meetings on Thursday nights, which she used to reserve for meeting the other Christians group. And then she also came to our the college conference, and she came out to prophesy. And during our weekly meetings, she was so willing to travel to Winnie's place instead of just meeting on campus. And in our time, she's open and asking questions, and she would use, what touched me the most is she would use the ministry to pray. And we, both of us were also were surprised and so very encouraged when she went to the spring break trip, even though both of us can't make it. Oh, Lord. So just praise the Lord for what he's doing in this new one. As a student contacting another student, it really makes a difference. Our care is more effective because when we have more intimate time with them, and then we cultivate this intimate concern for one another, and then, Lord, they will just respond and even remain.
Amen. Okay, so they're the best ones to contact them. Then letter B, they listen to their own peers. I've been with many college students, and as the years have gone by, sometimes lately I've said, "Did you hear what I said?" And they'll say, "Oh, what?" I said, "Never mind, never mind." You know, they just have an interest in one another and what one another says. So although we're full of burden and full of feeling, and, you know, our tongue is the pen of a ready writer, they're just like, "What?" So very often this is the case. But, you know, if another college student is the pen of a ready writer, something really opens there. Something very impressive happens because they are listening to their peer, and they really get impressed with someone their own age, their own stage, and like the sister said, with their own set of problems. I really like that. With a unique student set of problems, right, that they can identify with, then they listen. They have a real ear to listen to what that person has to say. This line here and this quote here, it says, whether in high schools or in the colleges, the ones the students listen to the most are their own fellow students. So, and then letter C is they're the same stage in life. They're very relatable. So, you know, they're worried about things like parking tickets and tuition payment. Did my parents put the money in the bank? And, you know, they just have the same set of circumstances, concerns, problems, and so forth. So this makes them so relatable to one another and thus open to one another, okay? Okay, so then letter Roman 3, let's move on quickly here. Let's read this together. Go.
Our need to perfect our students to effectively reach the target.
Letter A, feeding our own and helping 1 Corinthians 3, let's read it.
I gave you milk to drink.
And 1 Peter 2, go.
As newborn babes long for the guileless milk of the word, in order that by it you may grow unto salvation. If you have tasted that the Lord is good.
So our need to perfect our students, the first stage of this perfecting is feeding. I don't know what our thought is or concept of what perfecting means, but every mother knows the first stage of perfecting is feeding. And we have to learn how to be those who feed these young ones. And the students even have to learn how to feed one another. So this matter of feeding is paramount. It's critical because this is the first stage of perfecting. We must learn to feed one another, and I would say firstly with the living Word of Christ. So to know the Word, to read the Word, and to feed one another the Word, this is a great thing. In Austin, we have a regular daily Bible reading schedule. And this has become a huge help to all of us, I think, including us, but even the students as well, to have this. Basically, it's a chapter a day, in some cases two chapters, but basically we have a chapter a day, and the whole group realizes and knows we're reading a chapter a day, and so everyone is on the same schedule, on the same page, and as a result, by doing this, you know, we're reading the same chapter, and we just read it, not just for knowledge, but to get fed, and then not only do we get fed, but we hope that the students could pick up a verse and feed it to somebody else. And this is a great, small, significant step to learn to feed the Word of God to one another. And so, of course, we really advocate texting, Facebooking, tweeting, and what other new electronic things have evolved in the last, you know, 10 minutes. I don't know. But The point is, we minister something of the Word of Christ to one another. And this matter of feeding is a great thing, and it truly is the beginning of our perfecting. I would say, when we begin to eat, we have a bright future. And when we learn to feed one another, they have a bright future because they begin to eat. How precious did that tree become when I began to eat? So the tree of life in the Word of Christ has to become something so definite, so practical, and so doable with these students, because feeding them is critical. Then, of course, secondly, in feeding, we have to learn to pick up the ministry, the thing that unlocks the Word, that opens the Word to us. We have to also get into the ministry of the New Testament, which is so wonderful and life-giving. It betroths us to Christ. It causes us to love Him to the uttermost. And it causes us to love the Lord and the Word, right? So this is the very basic essence of this matter of feeding. Okay, I'm just going to go quickly on to letter B. The second thing I have here is opening their mouth. You know, dispositionally, many of us are quiet. Many of us are quiet by nature, and it's not so easy. But I would say in this matter, especially on a college campus where all these ones are gathered together in such a close proximity, it's very necessary for our students to right away to learn how to, and I use the term here, to unfurl their flag, to make mention, I am a believer in Christ, or I love the Lord Jesus, or some verse. And of course, today in the internet session, one of the brothers pointed out how a number of our students we've noticed have been more effectively doing this online. Of course, that's the, in my book, that's a great way to begin, but it's kind of the very beginning step. You need to get to the point where you use your mouth and say, I love Jesus, or I am a Christian. Or I pursue the Lord. One of the most famous things I remember is coming back on a Monday and the students sitting in class saying, hey, what'd you do last weekend? Perfect opportunity. Right there. That's the time to pull the flag out and unfurl it and say, you know, I met with Christians and enjoyed the Lord Jesus. Or whatever you might say. But the point is, you have to learn how to unfurl your flag. And for the students, this is a critical matter, because if they will just do that one time, it will change everything related to those persons that they're around. If they don't do it, then all the enemy will bring in all kinds of negative things to try to overcome them in their situation. So this is a big matter, to simply open our mouth. And I would even just include, confess the Lord's name. Just confess the Lord's name. And by this simple confession, you know what? A path is set. There's something that's declared there. There's something that a stand has been taken. And as a result, you know what? The enemy gets dealt a blow. So this is a big thing. So in this quote here, it says, you have to speak to men even if you are seeing them for the first time. Always grasp the opportunity to speak, whether in season or out of season. And of course, and this is a Timothy verse here. And I would say with college students, they're never out of season when they're around those universities. It's just always in season. And it's the time for them to really speak forth Christ. So this is a great matter to help our students learn to open their mouth and speak forth the Lord's name so that they can become identified with Him, right? Then the last underline there is, whenever you meet someone and have an urge in your heart to speak, you should speak to him. So, err in the side of speaking, right? You know, I think we much more often err in the side of not speaking. Why is that? Because this age is full of the enemy. He has made it a shame to mention the Lord's name in love, to mention the Lord's name in praise, right? So to just mention the Lord's name, we realize in this age, it's a shameful thing. And so We have to learn how to bear his reproach. Simply by speaking the Lord's name and confessing his name to other persons. This is a wonderful thing, and this will many times give an open door for the gospel. Okay, letter C. So at this point, I just want to make clear, this is not a gospel preaching message point. This is just saying, I am a Christian. I belong to Jesus. I meet with other believers in Christ. This simple confession is a real unfurling of their flag, okay? Okay, then letter C here is, let's read this point, go.
Being grouped with their companions.
I believe this point is very critical for their ongoing, because if they're not grouped to be an individual, some of you students are probably on campuses and may not have other fellowship, or you may not be grouped with others, and I would ask you, how many of you preach the gospel regularly? You don't have to raise your hand. How many of you speak to your friends regularly? Those of you who are not grouped with others, other Christians. I would say that probably you don't do it that much, because the strength in our gospel preaching comes not from ourselves. It comes from being grouped with others. Okay, so again, how about students? Let's see, I'd like for you to read these first four sentences together, okay, in this section. You don't have to stand up this time, but just read these first four sentences, starting with the young people. Ready? Go.
The young
Okay, that's good. So it says here the five companions should call on the name of the Lord together. You know, there's a law in the state of Texas now with a new driver. And if you're parents of kids who are driving, you should know what that law is. In the first 6 months, you're only allowed to have a sibling with you in the car. And you can't have other persons with you. Why is that? If you have four or five companions and you're just learning how to drive a car, what will a young high school student do? Anything. Anything. That's a fact. And that's where the rollover collisions happen, and that's where many, many negative things happen. So they passed a law in the state of Texas because they have learned this simple fact. If you get a group of young students together, they will do anything. They're fearless. They have no shame. They have no, you know, inhibition. They're invincible. So in a good way, you know what? If we're grouped together in Christ,
amen,
you know, eventually our students can also gain the same boldness,
yeah,
to speak Christ to their friends,
amen,
to share with their friends, to share with one another. But if you're not grouped, this kind of boldness will never transpire. I would say it's very rare without others who you are being built together with and strengthened to live this kind of way. So I love this quote here at the bottom of that. The principle for the saints in both the Old and New Testaments is that they should be grouped together. So today, especially in the New Testament, as this age grows darker and darker, we must be grouped to have the strength to speak forth Christ. Okay? All right, let's move on quickly here. Then D, let's read this. Go.
Have a list of their friends and praying every day with their companions.
Okay. So to be grouped with your companions is not just to go to Starbucks and to hang out and pop up your Wi-Fi devices, but it is to actually, like this says here, begin to fellowship and have a list of persons that you are burdened that would receive him. And so here, particularly, is that you would develop this list and you would pray on a regular basis. Of course, here it says every day, pray every day with your companions. And I believe if some of you with your groups will mean business, you will see persons get saved regularly. So we have a couple of pop-ups here. So the first one we have here is Sophie, Rebecca, and Danielle. Come forward.
Hi, my name is Sophie. So this year, me and these two sisters, we started meeting every Wednesday morning to pray together. So three of us, just after the winter training, we just got a burden to pray in a group. And briefly, all three of us, you know, we were at the different places. She went to the Wednesday Bible study, and we both were involved with the Monday Bible study, and all of us went to different homes. So basically, we took care of a different student and different new ones. So when we came together on Wednesday, we all have a burdens, and we just share what, you know, we burden. And we just put all the burdens together, and we pray. And although I really didn't know that some student that she took care of, and I just felt that all of them are like under our care, and we just took care of them together. And also, when we pray for them, we just pray very specifically. And I remember the two freshmen in her Bible study group, they were considering to be baptized, so we just started praying constantly. And we also pray for them to find the homes. And later, when I heard, you know, they both got baptized and they, you know, found the home, it was very encouraging. And another freshman in my Bible study group, and she just started meeting with us this year. And we just pray for her to, you know, open and to enjoy the word, just enjoy our small group time, just fully receiving the word. And just to see that she's growing, and we're really encouraging. And even it was more encouraging to hear that she's willing to labor on campus for the freshman orientation this summer. And it was really sweet to see that the Lord really has been operating in her. So the Lord is really faithful, you know, answering all our, you know, some prayers. And we just taking care of all the students that we've been praying for. And it was, for all of us, it was such a great experience to have a group, just to pray with companions. And we all very encouraged to continue this.
Good. Okay. And then we have another one here with Daniel and Ty.
Hello? I thought we were going to share on point E.
You are.
Oh. Okay. So my name is Daniel. I'm a fourth year. I just graduated. So point E is talking about taking care of new students one-on-one. And even though it says one-on-one, me and Ty met up one-on-one, it was never really just one individual student trying to take care of another individual student. Because before we would meet up, I would pray with another brother, and we would pray with a family. And I feel like that really made a difference in making our appointments effective. So this is the story. I was a church kid. Before I came to college, I never had a consistent morning time. But when I came to college, everything just came to a breaking point. I was just looking, trying to change, but I didn't know what to do. And so at that time, a full-timer asked me if I wanted to have morning revival with him every morning. So in addition to his personal time with the Lord, in addition to his corporate full-timer time, he got up at 7 a.m. with me and another brother every weekday, and we had morning revival. And when he left that semester, another full-timer who I live with met up with me at 7 a.m. every morning. And that really changed my life. Because I just having a morning time with the Lord, just having it consistently, when I didn't have it, it was just night and day. It changed everything. Okay, so that was great. So now fast forward 2 years, and a lot of new freshmen came in. And so there was a group of us brothers, and we had seen a lot of people come in, we had seen a lot of people go, and we were wondering, what do we do to help these ones stay in? Yeah. And I remembered how much it helped me, that brother meeting up with me, having a morning time with the Lord. So we start to meet up 2 times every week, and you want to tell your side?
Amen. Thank the Lord we can pray.
Prayer is good. And just a little background on my story. I would say when I was 13, but my mind was blown when I walked into freshman orientation and I saw a Bible study, God's Eternal Purpose. And I walked in, student sharing, and I was hooked. And and I felt like the only person I wanted to feed my first semester, my first year in college, was myself. The homes, the Bible studies, I just wanted to feed myself. And it wasn't until I started praying with Daniel that I really got a burden for other students. And I even opened a dorm Bible study, and we started praying for the ones that I met in my classrooms. I wanted to invite to the dorm Bible study. And so that really helped me have a burden this prayer time. It helped me have a burden for students that I knew I was really willing to bring to the group.
And so we meet up in the morning, and it was great just having the two of us. But this year, another freshman joined us. So it wasn't just us, but we got to take care of another one.
Year are you?
I just graduated.
Right, he's a graduating senior. And Ty, what year are you?
I'll be a junior in the fall.
So Ty is an incoming junior, but these two together were taking care of
a freshman.
So it just went right down the line. And this is normal. Amen. Hey, thank you, brothers. So we have to be impressed here. You know, letter E here says our students' specific labor with new ones one-on-one, that it's normal for once a person begins to eat and drink and get strengthened inwardly, that they would have this kind of burden, desire, and relationship. And so our next pop-up here is with Gabe and Nathan. Come on up, brothers.
Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. I'm Gabriel, and this is Nathan. And so, nice wave.
That's my trademark.
So, my story, our story begins first with my story. So I need to go over. I was saved. Well, I was saved when I was young, but my mind was blown when I met the saints in San Antonio. And actually, the saints used to come from Austin, and they used to come down to San Antonio, and I met Carrie first. And the first thing that blew me away is, like, man, they really know the Bible. And so immediately I was hooked. And I was like, I want to know the Bible like they know the Bible. And so they would come down every week. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, there would be saints coming down. And that really impressed me. And so then I transferred to Austin, and I continued enjoying the Lord here. Hallelujah. The Lord is rich. And then I heard there's still one older brother going down to San Antonio. And I was like, man, I want into that. I really want to go down to San Antonio. I hear that time was awesome. I mean, I enjoyed going down to San Antonio. And so one time, you know, I finally got it. My Friday morning was free. And so I got with this older brother, and I was like, I want to go down to San Antonio. And so, you know, in my mind, I'm like, 4-hour appointment. You know, 1 hour down, okay, then 2 appointments there, and then 1 hour back in the car. 4-hour appointment with this older brother. Nothing better than that, okay? This is the top. Nothing better than that. And so then, you know, I go down to San Antonio every week, just every week with this older brother. And I'm having a blast time. This is great. I'm getting my mind blown. I'm touching the Lord in the morning. It's like the peak of my week, right? 4-hour appointment. And so then I touch, you know, Nathan comes in the picture. And Monday home meetings, he starts going. And then he just starts joining the Friday home meetings. And Nathan is like, he's hungry. He wants some more. And so then, you know, I was like, well, you know, Nathan, you wanna, you know, start morning revival together? And so he's like, yeah, let's do it. And so every morning, I told him he needs to call me because I won't be able to call him. So
yes. He's asleep.
So he's my wake up call. And every time he calls me every morning, and we pray read those verses, and it's so sweet, so sweet. And then one day the Lord touches me inwardly, and you know what the Lord says? He says, you know, you need to ask him if he has any prayer burdens. And so I says, okay, Lord. So I asked him, do you have any prayer burdens? And he says, yeah, I have one prayer burden. I want to pray for Tanner. And so we pray for Tanner. The next day, same thing. Do you have any prayer burdens? Yeah, I have a prayer burden. I want to pray for Tanner. And so this became regular. And I used to keep asking the question, and I knew the answer. But you know what really touched me is that every time I asked a question, he would consider. He would say, yeah, I want to pray for Tanner. And you know, this really touched me because that meant that Tanner was in his heart. And this made Tanner become in my heart. And so then one day, this is where our story begins. The one-on-one time happens because this older brother that we were going down to San Antonio. Oh, Nathan started joining us in San Antonio. 4-hour appointment is awesome. It's awesome.
Best time of the week.
Best time of the week, you know. And so this older brother cancels on us. He's like, I can't make it. Something about like full-timer. I don't know. Apparently they're really busy. And so I call Nathan, and I'm all depressed. And I'm like, Nathan, we won't be able to get our 4-hour appointment. He's like, why not? And I was like, well, you know, the older brother is busy, and so we won't be able to make it. And he's like, well, what are you talking about? Like, we can still go. Ain't that great? Yeah. I'm telling you, this guy's hungry. And so I was like, okay, well, you want to go to San Antonio? He's like, well, how about we go to San Marcos, where Tanner is? See that? Isn't that awesome? I'm just here enjoying his company, and he's fruit bearing. Okay. And so I was like, amen, let's go to San Marcos. So, you know, this is awesome. I'm just there with Nathan. It's just one-on-one time. 4-hour, well, this time it was a little bit longer. But it was just me and Nathan for the whole ride down to San Marcos, and we just fellowshiped the whole way. We touched our spirit. Amen. We enjoyed the Lord. We called on his name. Amen. We got in the morning revival.
Amen.
And we're just all the way down. We're enjoying the Lord. Amen. And finally, we get to San Marcos, and we see Tanner. First time I ever met him. And, you know, he's opening up, you know, about his school and all that. We're walking all around campus. It's just us two students. Right. And I was just blown. I was like, man, there needs to be a full-timer. Like, I'm the full-timer right now. I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea.
He did a great job.
But you know what was the biggest help to me? You know, what a full-timer does, the biggest help to me was that it's not a matter of you being across the table and you teaching that student. That's not the biggest thing you need to do. The biggest help for a full-timer that it blew me away was you two. Full-timer, if you are, or just students with student with another student, what you do is you pursue the Lord together.
That's right.
That's all you're doing. Amen. You're just pursuing the Lord together. Yeah, yeah. And so Tanner opened up about his situation, and the biggest blessing was to see Nathan, this guy right here, start shepherding this new one, Tanner, and speaking Christ to him.
Amen.
From the Word. And I was just listening to that, and I was just mind blown. Amen. It was awesome. So that's my story.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, Gabe has just been a great companion. I mean, this bro has been really supportive of me. I mean, he's really been a gift. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, it's he's just an awesome brother. I mean, he says that I was his wake-up call. I mean, that's true. But we fed each other. And I just enjoyed being at every moment with him. I mean, it's very, very, very sweet. So if you don't have a companion, get a companion. It is awesome.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Okay. Amen. Wonderful, right? This matter of our companions is a great thing. And this will give the boldness to go take care of Tanner, right? Okay, letter F. Let's read this together. Ready? Go. Helping
our students bring the new students into the homes.
Okay, this is a great thing here, too. As Neil alluded to earlier, you know, we've shared many times the students are the bridge into the homes. And to a degree, this is still true. But the top bridge, the best bridge, are our own students to bring other students into the home. So, for this, we had another testimony here quickly with Danielle, with the Gonzaleses.
Sure.
So my name is Danielle, and I just finished my third year. And this past school year, Luciana and I started going to this family's home. And what I really appreciated about this time was that it wasn't a home meeting or anything structured, but it was just us going to this couple's home to spend time with them and to get to know them and just have very normal human interactions with them. Amen. Sorry, I'm really nervous. But something that I really enjoyed from this time was that every time, even though we weren't doing anything like spiritual or anything in particular, whenever I left this time, I just felt so nourished and so cared for. And so this family also had a home meeting in their home, and through our relationship with them, we started to go to this home meeting this fall. And I was really enjoying the home meeting, and it was I was able to meet all these saints that I had never even seen before, and so that was really enjoyable. But there came a point where I just felt like something was missing. Even though, you know, I was connected to this family, I knew most of the people there, I just felt like there was something missing. And so a particular experience happened where some of the students in my small Bible study group, they were getting together on the same night as this home meeting. And when I found out, I was just so upset and so sad that I wasn't able to be with them. And this made me realize that there were no people in this home meeting that I had a particular burden for. Like these girls in this Bible study group, you know, I was spending time with and praying for, and just these ones were on my heart. And so I just realized that I wanted some to be in this home meeting that I felt the same way for. And so through this, I just had some consideration and fellowship about some I could invite to this home. And so there were a number of ones that started to come to this home, and in particular, one student really benefited from coming to this home meeting. She has been meeting with our club for a couple of years, but the beginning of the spring semester, she started to not come to the home meeting as much. And then we got together one time, and she just kind of opened to me that she was struggling spiritually and just with other things. And shortly after, we were at this family's home, and I just was able to open to them her situation. And so we were able to pray for her and to fellowship about inviting her over to our time that we had apart from the home meeting. And so she started to come to this time, and she just was really cared for in the same way that I was being cared for. And so at the end of this past semester, when I was taking her home, she just told me that she felt like she has found her home here in Austin, and that prior to this time, she was still searching and still not feeling like she had found a group of believers here that she could call her home. And so I was just so encouraged, and she even told me that when she's in this home, she sees the love of God in the interactions between the members there. And so I just was so encouraged that just from her experience, and I just really enjoyed being a student, inviting a student to this home.
So this is a big matter, and in the book Preaching the Gospel on the College Campuses, our brother mentions in this book that if we bring the students into our home, 90% of the job is done. So it's a great thing, especially for our students, to be in this realm of inviting their peers, their friends, their classmates, and so forth with them into the homes of the brothers and sisters, because the Lord's work really can be substantiated there in the homes, okay? Okay, then we had one more here, and this is Brother Joseph.
Hi, my name is Joseph, and I just graduated from UT, and I just wanted to start with this matter of the homes. Something that has stuck with me since the last reunion was something that was shared by Neil, that the homes is where the Lord is able to operate. And so just like in the Bible, the Lord did a lot of teaching and healing and cleansing in the homes, it's the same today. The Lord is able to operate freely when we're in the homes with the saints. And so this is my experience this past year with this new freshman. His name is Carl. And really what happened was it wasn't anything that we did, but the Lord really prepared him. Like earlier they shared, the Lord has to open their hearts, right? And so one time when we were just meeting together, it hadn't been more than a week after school started, and he asked me, so where's the small group at? And then it just took me by surprise because this was before I even considered taking them to a home or anything. And so I was like, I'll get back to you on that. And so I went over to this couple's home. I knew them before, but they were new to Austin. They had just graduated the training and moved here for school and work. And so I just went over and I just talked to them like, what do we do? This new one, he wants to get into a small group. What does that even mean? Like, what do we do? And really what came out of that time, we just didn't know what to do, but we just started praying. And then, you know, what the prayers that we had were like, Lord, we just look to you. Lord, meet this new one's need, you know? There's nothing we can do except pray. And then the Lord is faithful to carry the rest out. And so the first time we took him over, he came and after I asked him what he thought, and he's like, oh, that wasn't really what I was thinking. I thought we were going to be on campus maybe, or like it was going to be all guys because it was a couple, so there was a girl. But it was good. I liked it. And so just more week after week, we took him to this couple's home. And he said, to paint a picture of what we did, sometimes we read the Bible, sometimes we read a ministry book, and also like just questions that he had, we would like talk about them. And even on the non-spiritual side, we would study, he'd do his laundry. And really just going to the saints' homes was a way just to make a connection. And then outside of this one time a week, then like they would go and like watch a football game with him, or like one time he hurt his knee and he just called him up and said, my knee hurts. And so he went to their house and then they like iced him and stuff. And so, you know, it wasn't all spiritual, you know, it was just very normal. Like, and over time he just kind of felt like he was becoming a family with them. And, what was I going to say? So in the homes, the Lord's able to operate. Yeah. And one operation that he can carry out very easily in the homes is shepherding. Yeah. And so this was at the beginning of the year, completely new. And then just a couple of weeks ago, I asked him, so Carl, what did you think of, you know, the homes this year? And he told me, the shepherding in the homes that I experienced this year and the care from the saints in their homes is the reason why the Lord Jesus is my greatest enjoyment today. And so, you know, as an older one, you just like, oh, melt. And it's like, but it's, you know, just so great to see these younger ones are able to use the homes as a stepping stone into the church life. And, you know, like this morning, something that relates to this that was shared was fruit bearing happens by us being grouped together. And so when we're in the homes with the saints, being grouped is so easy because you're just with them, you know? And then once you're grouped together, fruit bearing is so normal. And this is just, you know, my experience this year.
Yeah. Amen. Good. So this is the fruit of coming into the homes and having our students bring others into the homes, right? This is a great thing. Okay. Then quickly on to letter G here. Let's read this together. Go. Let's go ahead and read these two verses. 1 Timothy 4. How about brothers 4:12 and then sisters 4:16? Ready, brothers, go.
Let no one despise your youth, but be a pattern to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity.
Sisters. Right, so even in this matter, there needs to be a lot of perfecting in this matter as well. And so when students see other students in this realm of speaking forth Christ, ministering Christ, and in functioning in many ways in the church life, They also are inspired by the pattern to do the same. And we also have a couple of pop-ups here quickly. So Josh Wong and company, come on up.
Okay, so we go to school in Champaign, and I'm Josh.
I'm Dan.
I'm Sam. Okay, so I just finished my freshman year at Champaign, Illinois. And going into my freshman year, I'm a church kid, so I heard, you're going to be part of the core, and I didn't know really what that meant. So what I ended up doing was just following the older Christian brothers, just because I found out that I loved being around them. I just loved just being in their presence. It was just awesome. So I went where they went. I did what they did. And there were times after our student prayer and coordination, we would just be, hey, we're all together. Let's just prepare something for the prophesying meeting. So we're like, okay, cool. So then the next day during the prophesying, we would all just stand up. We would make sure, we would just follow after one another, and we would take up like 10 or 12 minutes from the older saints. And it was awesome. And then there were even times we would go to conferences together, and we'd be like, hey, let's get the front row. And we're like, okay, sure, yeah. And then we'd be like, hey, you got something to share? The mic's right there, let's go. Like, okay, sure. So I just found looking back at my freshman year that it was not only a salvation just to be with those brothers, but it helped me open my mouth just to be around them. And not only that, but I also became a pattern just by following their pattern.
Sure. Amen. Amen. I'm Dan. I'm a sophomore. As a kind of young believer, I used to think, those functioning, like shepherding others, like preaching gospel, belongs to those older brothers, like those who have like really, really many spiritual experience. And then but start like last year, around a year ago, Josh Huang, and then he somehow started to bring me to the appointment with new believer or gospel friends. At first it's really awkward. I was just sitting there and then silent, speaking nothing, because I really don't know what to say. But Josh just keeps bringing me to those appointments. And it was, and later on, I can offer a little prayer. And then later on, I can even like share some of my experience based on the reading. And it was just little by little, I can even like kind of cooperate with Josh. So, Acts 16:3, I believe, we see Paul wanted Timothy to go forth with him. Yeah. It's just why. Because Paul wanted perfect Timothy, teach him how to function. So Paul wanted Timothy to go forth with him. Yeah. I believe we have many Pauls right here today. So bring your Timothy to go forth with you. Amen. Also, I believe we have many Timothy here. So let no one dispatch your youth.
Yeah, I like that word with, because I feel like, there's another testimony here. And I feel like the students in Champaign were just a corporate pattern. And so usually on Monday mornings, we have corporate morning revival on campus. And it's an open invite, whosoever wills. And it's at 8 a.m. Yeah, it's really early. So it's actually a miracle. It's college students. I can't believe they're there, but they're there week after week. And actually, it's been really good this past year because we have somewhat of a contagious atmosphere, I would say. And, of course, all the core students are there, or a lot of the core students are there for that Monday morning revival time. And what we do is we just enjoy the Lord, get the word into us, get the truth into us. And there's a couple little lines at the end of the morning revival. I don't know if you guys have noticed. And we can actually write stuff in there, right? What a novelty, yeah. So we've been practicing that. But anyways, there's this one student. Actually, he came when we came to Austin last Thanksgiving. His name is Glenn. He's really new, like maybe 1 year new. And you know what? He just is with us. It's so contagious that he's just with us. He came with us to the Thanksgiving conference. But the point is, he's with us, especially in this prophesying, in this morning revival time. So in that time, we get the truth into us. And then on Lord's Day mornings, we speak the truth out. Amen. Right? So this brother, Glenn, dear brother, his prophecies, you can really see, started out, you know, he was always famous for thanking God for the beautiful weather and the sunshine and the trees, you know. And that's where he was at. He would share that, which was, but going on, you know, you can really see some progress because just a couple weeks ago, we were getting into the morning revival for the commercial mind, right? And boy, he stood up and he hit it right on the mark, you know. Amen. With a commercial mind and, you know, God's economy and, you know, a divine sense of value, right? Yeah. That's what we need. And boy, you know, praise the Lord. Yeah. You know, we're just a corporate pattern there. And, you know, all the students, they're it's so contagious. They want to be with. They want to be with the ones who call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Good. Thank you, brothers. So, this is a great help. The best ones to be a pattern for them are these young students who are doing the very same thing, right? So, we need these, of course, these young ones. No one would despise their youth, but they would rise up, right, and speak forth Christ. And even I would say, make a pact together, just like these brothers. Every week when we go to the meeting of the church, we are going to speak Christ. Right, this is a great thing, okay? Then, Romans 4, moving on quickly here. We now get into some very practical ways to reach the target. And, of course, letter A, the first thing we should mention is the gospel. Let's read 16:15 together. Ready? Go. And he said to them, I was very impressed recently preparing for this time, going through just pages and pages of ministry. Brother Lee mentioned in a number of spots the first and top thing we need to do with all of our young people is to help them learn how to preach the gospel. Even he said this is their top and best service. You know, when we say the word service, we may have a lot of things in our thinking, but I was very impressed going through the ministry, place after place. Our brother mentions this. This is the top thing they need to learn to do because our brother realized that they are the best people at the best time of their life to reach all of these persons. And so the first thing they must learn how to do is preach the gospel. So I was freshly impressed and inspired, even in my labor with all these young ones. What we must do with them is to get them and to practice taking them with us on the gospel. And there's a lot that could be said about this point, but we just have to bring it out. I would say it's the first practical way to reach the target is to learn to preach the gospel. And of course, the first person who gets saved is whom?
You.
The person speaking. You'll save both yourself and those who hear you. So in going out in the gospel, this is a great matter. And through the years, we've seen and known that this can become the greatest help to our young people. We'll just leave it at that. Then letter B here on the tables. This matter also has become increasingly important in our realization. And we have begun to realize, even through our visit to the full-time training and talking with many of the trainees there, asking them, how did you first contact the saints? Brother Matt Miller has told us that he does the entrance and exit interviews of the full-time trainees, and he asked them the same question. And he's noticed that he said at least 70, and it may be 80% or higher, of the ones that he interviews were all met initially at the table. And so to set up a table on the campus is a great thing. And we, brothers, have been fellowshipping about this matter and realizing that it's a great thing to realize even the ones who initiated coming up to the table. They represent a very significant group of persons that we must pay attention to. You know, oftentimes we're there and we are working hard to meet people and so forth, and all that's good. But we've realized this matter of being at the table, having a proper signboard, having a proper presentation, And allowing the Lord's seekers to come to us is very significant. And considering those ones, and I would say focusing our labor on looking towards those and laboring towards getting to those is very important. So a lot to say about this matter, but the tables is a very practical way that we reach people. I enjoyed Marion's testimony. Marion, did y'all actually set up a table? Yeah, so Joe and Marion, who are an older couple in the church in Round Rock, they just, I think they used the word plop down at a table, and they just had a table and people came up to them, right? And through that table, there was a signboard and there was a way for them to meet brand new students. And I would just emphasize, I hope all of us would seriously consider this, and even I would say consider strategic tabling and learn to table more. In other words, more frequently and more strategically. What I mean by the word strategically, where do you table and what time do you table? These things, you have to study these matters. Study the traffic patterns. Where are the students? Don't set up a table where no one is. Learn to find out where's the student union or where is the bookstore, where are the crucial places on campus where you know you'll get a regular cross-section of traffic. And so I believe this will help all of us become more effective in reaching the target. Okay? Then letter C, we had a time on the matter of the internet. This is a great thing and I think an expanding matter we all need to consider. And then physical signs, even we've used this more frequently recently, is these A-frames. You can buy these A-frames that you just place. You know, signs point us to something. And we have to learn to use signs. I'm talking about physical signs. Usually we're talking about spiritual signs here, but tonight at this point, I mean, we should use physical signs. They point people to our meetings, to the places where we are. And it's not an insignificant matter to just have a physical sign pointing to where we are. I think for years we've stayed very hidden in the churches. And for the matter of contacting the target, we need to use these signs. So on campuses, there's kiosk, there's bulletin boards, there's all kinds of things. But we've found very effective and even have had brand new people walk into our meetings based on the fact that we just set up these little A-frames on campus and say, you know, Christian Fellowship this way. And we put a room number on there and a time, and these seeking ones, they show up. So we have to pay attention to this matter. Then, letter D, summer labor and freshman orientation. And this is a big matter here. We'll get into this more thoroughly in the last message, but we should say this. Let's read that underlined sentence, the first one there all together. Ready? Go.
The best time for a college student to receive the gospel is during his first semester as a freshman. Because the freshman.
Okay, so this matter of contacting the students, this is why we moved this time of the team reunion to right now, to before June. We ended on June 1st. And most of the freshman orientations for most universities are for the duration of the summer, or at least at particular days during the summer. And this is critical. We must consider these times, both our labor and our time, of how we will reach this target during freshman orientation. Tim will cover this in much more detail in the last message here, okay? Then another way we reach the target is letter E here. We have late afternoon large Bible studies. And let me just explain quickly here. These Bible studies that we have on campus have been very significant because what we do is we meet all the students in a large group at first, and then we break down into smaller groups within that large groups. And in these smaller groups, that group decides and selects another hour during the week to go study their section of the material that we get into, both verses and ministry. And so when we come back together the next week, all of us, each group will come forward and we will share our section of the verses in the ministry. And every person in the room speaks every week. And this becomes very attractive because when you see young students speaking forth the word and speaking forth the ministry, this is very attractive. As much as I enjoy speaking, if I speak the whole time, no one would come back. But when all the students rise up and speak, this becomes inspiring and this becomes attractive. And this becomes a great way to reach the target. So with this point, we have two different pop-ups. Firstly, we'll have Shelby and Caitlin. Come on up.
Hi, everyone. My name is Shelby. I just finished my second year at UT here in Austin. And this is Caitlin. She just finished her first year at UT. All right. And so I actually just joined the Bible studies in February. That was when I started going. So even though I've only been going for a short time, I can honestly say that it has helped me grow so much in my relationship with the Lord. It's been amazing. I've just seen this like complete transformation from the person I was before to the person I was after. And a huge part of that, I think, was just having, like, seeing students get up and speak and share their enjoyment and what they got from the Lord. And, like, the first meeting I went, I didn't actually speak because I had no idea what was going on. So I saw these other people, and what got me to go back was I saw them speaking and just their passion for the Lord. And I was like, I want to be like that. I want that to be me. I want to do that. I want to have a portion to share. And so from our different teachings and everything, what I most enjoyed, I think, what I learned is that each person has a spirit. Amen. Every person has a spirit. Amen. And so, yeah, I think that's so cool. And so we have a spirit. And so when we touch our spirit, we can contact the Lord, and his spirit can become mingled with ours. Yeah. And by mingling with our spirit, he can move through us. Amen. So I really enjoyed that, and I just, you know, I really have a heart for these Bible studies. I think they're amazing, and I think I've talked long enough, so here you go, Caitlin.
Hi, I'm Caitlin, and I'm a freshman at UT. I just completed my freshman year, I guess. And I started my first semester without a church group. I was raised in a Christian home, and I didn't feel like I needed a church group. And that was a horrible mistake. And I noticed something was missing in my life. I didn't, you know, have a huge bottom out or anything, but I knew something was missing at the end of the semester. So first day back, second semester, I found the group, and I loved it. It has changed my entire college experience and changed my life. I was in a small group with Shelby during the year, and the groups really were a deciding factor for me with the club, because essentially you meet multiple times a week to speak with people that you like speak in front of people you don't necessarily know about a Bible lesson that you talk to with some other people in your group. And forcing you to talk, or at least for me, to talk in front of a large group of people about something I've discussed, and hearing everybody have a different perspective and listening to everybody give what they enjoyed out of the lesson was so beneficial. Amen. I mean, it's amazing what people can get out of the same words we all read. Yeah. It touches us differently. Yeah. And what I most enjoyed out of our Bible study, because I didn't really have a church home my first semester or really back home, was the fact that church is the head and we are the body. Amen. And that each of us has to depend on each other and move with each other in order to accomplish God's goals. Amen. And that each of us is a unique part in that body. And if we don't work together, the body can't function. That was one of the things, and I think it ties in with the group perspective, because whenever you communicate with each other, you work together. And that's what I enjoyed.
Thank you. Okay. Now we have some from Storrs, Connecticut. So we'll have Afia, Samantha, and Lola.
I guess I can start just giving... Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just want to touch my spirit, saints. Amen. Just want to give a little background on the Bible study, a very short background. Anyways, just we've been going through John, so we actually tried to hit just one point in John, anyways, every week. And so Kelsey, we're going to talk about today, is one who's benefited a lot from this Bible study.
Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Oh, thank you that our God never gives up. Kelsey has been my roommate since freshman year. She was freshman to junior year. We were roommates. And I came into the church life when I was a sophomore. And ever since then, I've been inviting Kelsey to the home meetings because I was really enjoying it. So I was like, oh, Kelsey, let's go. And she always had an excuse, like, oh, not this weekend, I'm going home, or I'm busy, I have homework, blah, blah, blah. But then for some reason, I still kept inviting her. Like, usually I would just say, okay, well, you don't want to go, it's okay. But I kept inviting her, and after, like, about 2 years, I stopped inviting her. And, like, but Sam and I would pray for her. And I believe, like, a few months after I stopped inviting her, I get a text from her, and she's like, I'm going through a really rough time right now, and I need some really good people around me, and I feel like it's you and your group. So is the invitation still open? And I was like, amen, of course, come over. So she comes to a home meeting, and she really, really enjoyed it. I was a bit worried because I thought maybe it might be too much for her because, like, because this group is a bit different from most Christian groups. Like, I experienced that when I came in the first time, too. But, no, she really enjoyed it. She thoroughly enjoyed it. And she was asking me, so what else do you guys do? Is it just the home meetings? And I was like, no, we have Bible study. We have the Sunday service. And she was like, oh, when is the Bible study? So I told her about it. And that time, the semester was coming to an end. So the following semester, she would come and come to the Bible study. And I think Lola will talk more about that. But I just want to say that, you know, we want to be fishers of men. And we all want to bear fruit that remain. But we should always start with the people who are around us, you know? Like, your roommate is your roommate for a reason. It was not, like, by accident that the person is your roommate. You know, it's not a coincidence that, like, you always sit next to that guy or that girl in your class. Like, talk to them, invite them, you know? Like, start with your friends and then move out. Because if I had not invited Kelsey, like, who else would have done it, you know? So, like, if not you, if you don't invite your roommate, who else would do it, you know? So, amen.
Amen. So it's been really good. The Bible studies, we just hit a point each time, one chapter. And then it was really good because Kelsey wanted to just have lunch with all of us. So about five or six of us sisters after the Bible study would actually have lunch for about an hour. And this was a really beneficial time because this is where Kelsey could ask questions. And we were all, some of the times I'd put the girls on the spot just to kind of train them a little bit, like answer her questions. And then they look at me like deer in a headlight. But anyways, but it was a really good time for all of us to kind of just pray for her. And eventually we just had the burden. Kelsey's too much in her mind. She needs to touch her spirit. So, but she is a sponge. She was getting everything, and we didn't realize it. And then one day, Afia tells me, Kelsey has a lot of questions. Can I take her over to your home? I said, yeah, and I got some leftovers because I didn't have anything. So we just cooked. We had dinner together. And Kelsey, she just says, I don't know what happened to me today. I read the Bible this morning, and I started crying. What is that? She goes, what was the Lord telling me? And so anyways, and so we just started talking about her human spirit, all these things, and she told us, she goes, I just feel, remember, we've been reading John. She says, I just feel like I've been Nicodemus the whole time. How do I get the Lord? So she was getting it, you know. And so me and I look at each other, and we're like, amen, you want to pray now? And so so we prayed to receive the Lord with her right there at our dinner table. And she looks at me, she goes, that was it? And I said, yeah. She goes, that was so easy. I received the Lord. And I said, yeah, you received the Lord. Anyway, so it was really good. Just through the Bible study, she was just so helped. And she was taking in everything. Yeah. And every time at that lunchtime was so beneficial. She goes, what does this mean? What does this mean? And anyway, so throughout the whole semester. Yeah. And then Sam and Afia have really been taking care of her mostly. I've just kind of helped them out. Yeah. But anyway, so that's kind of my portion on that. The Bible study has been very, very beneficial for her, and she even got saved through that. So I don't know if, amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. I guess my experience with Kelsey is a little different than these two because, I mean, I only hung out with Kelsey only when Afia was there. But they left me. Like, I was staying at Lola's house, and, you know, she went to the Atlanta conference, and Afia, what were you? You went home. she went home, and of course, Kelsey texted me, and she asked me, you know, what I was doing one day, because she was taking a class for that week, and I was like, well, nothing, and she asked if she could come over, and I was like, sure, but of course, I'm like, I was both scared and, like, excited. Scared because she asked a lot of questions that I have no idea how to answer, and excited because, I mean, I like company, so, yeah, I mean, but our time, I mean, she ended up, like, coming over, like, the whole week, and we just kind of, like, fellowshipping with one another and, like, you know, just talking, sharing our experience with one another, and, like, I think even, like, in a way, growing and getting built up with one another, because, like, before that, we didn't, like, really know each other in, like, in any context outside of these two, and, you know,
you know, I mean, like I said, Kelsey has a lot of questions, which are scary, but they also help me because I'm like, well, yeah, why, what's up with Lot's wife? Like, you know, what's up with Lot? Like, so then it causes me to, like, go back to, like, the older saints and, like, ask, like, you know, why did the Lord make, you know, the plants grow on the third day? Like, questions like that, it, like, it kind of helps me to kind of, like, grow and, like, and I think, like, our time together kind of showed her, like, how normal we are. Because, I mean, I don't know what she thought, like, was going on, but I think just kind of exposed myself a little bit here, but I think this song came on, and I think I was probably humming or something. She said, you listen to that? I'm like, well, I was always in the Lord's recovery, so I guess so. I mean, I don't know. But she was like, well, would you listen to it and, like, you know, just go out there and get it? Well, just go out there and, like, just listen to it. I'm like, well, this is mostly, like, to listen to the hymns and stuff, you know. And she's like, well, I like to listen to all type of music, you know, because, you know, and she said something about, you know, not all music's bad and stuff like that, so not all the lyrics are bad. I'm like, and I think I said something, because, I mean, like I said, I didn't really know how to respond, but I think I said, it's not about something being bad or good, is about if you're experiencing Christ, if you're gaining Christ at that time. And I'm pretty sure listening to Justin Timberlake is not, we're gaining Justin Timberlake right now, not Christ. And, you know, in a lot of ways, that week, I think it was like an awesome week. And even like on Friday nights, she usually comes to the home meetings when Afia is there. And I didn't know she was going to come. Actually, she asked me if I was going to go, and I wasn't. But since she wanted to go, I was like, awesome, like, we can go. And I'm glad we went together. If I had gone alone, I would have been, like, the only young person there. Everybody was, like, older than us. And, you know, not old. And, you know, yeah.
Amen. Good time. Amen.
Thank you. Okay, so moving on quickly, we're trying to get for a few more points here. F here is the evening dorm Bible studies. You know, if you want to go where the catch the fish, you have to go where the fish are, and the fish live in the dorms. And so a great place to actually have a Bible study is where they live. So we've done this, and how about we read this little quote here together? I think it's very good. Ready? Go. For the propagation of the gospel in the schools, the students in the dorms, distribute gospel tracts, and even lead small group Bible studies with the students. We need to cover these matters with prayer. So we've been practicing this matter of going to the dorms and having, I like to call it late night Bible studies. Because most students are actually very open, and our experience is about from 9 o'clock on, their intensity of study tends to dwindle, and their openness begins to get more. So we found, we used to have a Monday night dorm Bible study, a Tuesday night dorm Bible study, and what was the other one? Wednesday night, I believe. A late night dorm Bible study as well. So in any event, this later evening time was very good for these students to meet together. And this also became a very practical way to reach the target. So we have another quick pop-up with this matter here with the dorm Bible study.
Hello, I'm Vanya, and I just finished my third year at UT. And I just wanted to share my experience as a student in one of the dorm Bible studies. Okay, so I grew up in the church and came to Austin, and I joined a dorm Bible study with Ty and all of his friends. He has a lot of friends. And I think one thing I really noticed was that it was a little different than a typical meeting because we couldn't just depend on the full-timers anymore. They really pushed us to be the ones speaking, be the ones kind of leading the meeting, you know, very informal. And it really, you know, made us all really turn and draw from our experience. So there's a verse in 2 Timothy that says, from a babe you have known the holy scriptures. And that verse really became real to me when I had to speak them. Yeah. So one of the older brothers, full-timer in our dorm Bible study, after one of the meetings, he was like, Vanya, you really need to speak out more because You know the truth, and I know the truth. But it means so much more when you say it because you're a student. And, you know, he's right. Whenever the students would speak, we would notice all these newer ones that, you know, maybe had just received the Lord last week, got baptized last week. They were able to speak because they saw, you know, their peers speaking, and they realized, hey, it's not that hard. You just, you know, say what you liked from the Bible. Anyway, I really enjoyed this, and I think Kyle is going to share from his perspective.
So as a full-timer, for me, getting into the dorms has been the most enjoyable thing I've done and the easiest thing I've done in my serving life. So I've been serving 2 years here in Austin, and I got plugged into the dorms 9 p.m., two nights back-to-back my first year serving. And then this last year I've been Wednesday night after the prayer meeting. So a little bit of a price tag for me to go back up to campus at 9 p.m. at night and get home usually around 10:30, 11. But every semester I've gone, we've had 25 new students in that dorm. 25 every semester come through that dorm. And most of those people I never would have met unless I got onto their floor with the people they lived with, studied with, ate with, and were always around. So for me, as far as reaching the target, getting into the dorms was so crucial for me. And just a little history, the first semester I got back, we met one student. He started dorm Bible study. Ty, who was up here earlier, started coming to it. Ty got inspired. He started a dorm Bible study in his dorm. Ty was an OA that next summer. He met Connor. Connor, this whole last year, has had a dorm Bible study in his dorm. And so you just see the benefit has been it's just been like dominoes. Each person we've met has had an opportunity to bring their friends and just keep the door open, keep the Bible open, and things have happened. Amen. One just really fast story. We were praying for more baptisms and salvations on the floor. We've had a few. And that next night, the very night we prayed for that, we got in the dorms. We met this guy named Abdel Razak Jibril Ahmad. We were reading John 7. It finishes with everyone went to their house, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. And he said, "The Mount of Olives is in the Bible?" And we're all kind of like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Dude, I was born on the Mount of Olives." And we were like, "What?" And so I wanted to get this guy's story. So I went up to him afterwards, and he'd been reading the King James very awkwardly. So I knew he wasn't familiar with the King James. But I was asking, I was like, "Hey, so are you a real big fan of the King James?" And he's like, "What's the King James?" And I was like, "Oh, okay, yeah. So it's a different version. If you read maybe this one, it'll sound a little bit more like English." And so I was like, "What's your story?" And he was like, "Well, I was born on the Mount of Olives, grew up Muslim, became an atheist in eighth grade, got tired of being angry all my life, had some Christian friends my senior year in high school, got saved last year, and now I know baptism is the next step." And we had prayed 1 hour before that for more baptisms. But if I had not been in the dorms, I would have never met this guy. So Ty actually set up a lunch with him the next day. We met him with Tino, me, and Ty, share with him about baptism, and he said, "I am ready to get baptized right now." So we took Abdel Razak Jibril Ahmad, and we baptized him that night into the triune God. So anyways, I was just saying, praise the Lord. And we had, anyways, it was awesome. But it's just like, to me, to be in the dorms and just to meet these people's friends, every semester, something awesome the Lord has done has happened with us. Amen.
Thank you. Okay. So the dorm Bible studies, it's a great thing. In this footnote here, John 15, 16, footnote 3 here, let's all read this footnote together. 16:3, John 15, 16, the note together. Ready? Go. "After we go forth to produce believers in the Lord, we need to care for them. The best way is to set up meetings in their homes to cover and protect them, that they may be cared for by being nourished and taught, and may become the remaining fruit, living in the branches of the true vine, that is, in the body of Christ, to be Christ's increase." Well, the homes of these new freshmen is their freshman dorm. And if they believe in Christ and receive Christ and are hungry for the truth, really one of the best places that we can go initially is into the dorms to meet them. Of course, this then we are hoping and expecting will become a stepping stone into the homes of the brothers and sisters. But many times it's very hard to make that initial transition. So to go to where they are is crucial to reach the target, okay? All right, then Roman numeral 5, seeing and laboring on the students as a cluster. Letter A, friends and roommates. Of course, we've heard a number of testimonies about this already. And this quote mentions the same thing. Again, we've talked about this matter of seeing people in clusters in the past, but especially as a result of so many raising their hand this morning, I'll just take one more minute, and that this is your first reunion. You know, when we see one person, we have to realize that behind that person is a whole cluster of people. Whether it's friends, roommates, workout buddies, people in the lab, or whoever they're associated with, they are related to many other people, not to mention their family and the persons back home that they are related to. So they represent the beginning of a large cluster of people. And this is important in the matter of fruit bearing, because when we see that person, we have to see them not just as an individual, but realize that they are the part of a large cluster of persons. Or you might say the very front person, and behind them are many other persons that they are related to. So in this matter of fruit bearing, we have to see people and realize that people are part of a cluster in their life. So this first point in the on the college campuses, the first persons, as the sister mentioned, was her roommate. So God is sovereign, and he placed her with another person, and so she realized God's sovereignty and was burdened for her, and this is normal, and this is right. And so with all these students we're touching, they are also part of a large cluster of people, and we have to see this and enter into their cluster to have a very positive maximum potential in our fruit-bearing life, okay? Then letter B, is study groups. And of course, this is another way they're clustered together. Whether they do it on their own or classes assign them study groups, nonetheless, they're grouped together. So for this one, we also have another quick pop-up. And is Dalton here? Yeah, come on up, Dalton.
Hi, my name is Dalton. How I kind of got involved with the group, I actually missed that first semester, the greatest time to get to meet with the group. And so... So, yeah, I finished out that first semester, and I'll say that I was just really looking for a group to get involved with. I believed a lie where I was like, okay, just new to college, just get used to it and see what it's like, and then kind of branch out. And that winter break, I just really had a hole in my heart of just I knew something was missing. And so whenever I got back, I was also one of those, I came from the tabling. And so, yeah, tabling works. I mean, thank goodness for that, because I had gotten a couple flyers, and within a period of 2 hours, I had not had any Christian group involvement. And then in a period of 2 hours, I went, got involved in the group, and was in the Bible study, and I had a time to meet every week, and it just started from there. Within 2 hours, it was all set for the rest of the semester. So I'm like, this could not have happened any better. I mean, just so simple. And so... From that involvement, I had met a really good group of friends freshman year, kind of just through God. Like, I knew some people coming in, and from that, like, I was able to meet the person who's now my current roommate. And we're all engineers, and so I just knew that as the semester winded down, and we were going to have the summer and the next semester, I knew that as engineers, you kind of make excuses not to go to things. And so I had a really urging on my heart just to try and get them to come to some of the Christian group things that I had really enjoyed. And I knew that because they hadn't been involved in the Christian group, and I was just really trying to get them involved in something. And so it was during Freshman Connect and that time whenever they were playing sports, because my friends love sports. And so from that, I was saying, hey, come play some soccer or frisbee or whatever. And then I actually had left that time, but they got there. And apparently they talked to Carrie, and just from that, they got involved. So, like, it's such a blessing for God to be able to use me and work through me in a way that I hadn't even thought of, and me not even being there. That's just God. Like, he didn't even need me, but he used me. That's just how great it is. And so from that, actually the next semester, like, they started meeting, getting involved, had some appointments. I know they'd meet on Fridays and have lunch or whatever. And so, like, I actually wasn't able to go to a lot of things, but it was from this enjoyment, from them, I was actually able to, like, that was how I got fed. Because he would go, they'd have an appointment, and they'd talk about, share about what they enjoyed, and like, wow, I didn't think of that. And so that was how I really got to live through them, because I had a lot of time with my roommate, just because some of my other friends, it's just, you're engineering kind of busy. But from that, I was able to get fed spiritually. From someone that I just kind of came not too long ago, and it was like wisdom. I mean, it just really spoke to me. And then from that, it was just amazing, because, you know, you have your friends, and you have, like, Christian friends, and so great. You get such a deeper level understanding when your friends are your Christian friends, and especially when they weren't so before. And so you just get to know someone on such a different level when you spend that time with them, and you have such different fellowship when you're living with Christians. And so, actually, there's about a group of, like, I think 4 or 5 of us, and we're all going to be living together next year. And I'm just so looking forward to what's in store, because just living with one of them, it has been such a blessing. So I'm just looking forward to more fruit bearing.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. So, clusters, right? I didn't even realize, Dalton, you invited them to come up to that night and do soccer and frisbee? I didn't even know that. So Dalton left, and they came up and said, "Is Dalton here?" And we said, "No, he's not." And then we just met the whole group right there, and it carried on from that point. Amazing. Cluster fruit bearing. Then, of course, here we have classes and group projects. This matter of clustering happens in many kinds of ways. And then letter D, we have athletic and recreational teams. They're clustered in this way as well, and we have a number of testimonies there. Some have already shared. So clustering is a big, important matter in the realm of fruit bearing, and we have to consider this, especially in the way that we labor, in the way that we pray, in the way that we fellowship with one another. Realize that these persons live and have their being in clusters of other people, and they're not just individuals, okay? Then let's move quickly on to Roman numeral 6 here. Let's read this together. Go. Benefits. Letter A, read it.
Adding life, vigor, and joy.
I mean, I would say first thing is that when we see these young people, we just get life.
Amen.
You know, it just gives life to us. It's so marvelous. It adds vigor and it adds joy. And all the churches, all the brothers and sisters, we need this. We need this matter very much, okay? Then letter B here. The benefit of these students is supplies functions to the community saints in so many ways. And for this, we have 3 brothers that are going to come up, and each have different homes, and we'll just share a brief testimony about their experience of these students supplying function to the homes, to the community saints. So come on up, brothers Tim, Jeremy, and Robert.
I'm Tim Adkins. I have a home, I have a wife, and I have 4 children, 10 and under. When we moved to Austin 4 years ago, they were very young children. Needless to say, it's difficult to make it to the campus. I think I've been to the campus at UT. I can count on one hand how many times I've been to the campus. But by having an open home, we've really entered into corporate fruit bearing.
Amen.
It's been really the Lord's mercy that we've been visited by saints who came into our home and shepherded us when we moved here. And in so doing, supplied my family with life and then brought the students into our home. And over the time that we've had our home open, the traffic has increased. We've had more and more times, not just in a home meeting, but just an open home where the students would come at different times, sometimes staying after midnight. In fact, I think Gabe could testify that it's been many times after midnight, right, Gabe? So where we have really good times of fellowship or just being together, and it's really been a salvation to our family. And it's really been sweet. And I just feel like, you know, it's been the highlight, right? Just to have a home open where the students are coming in. And we can enter into the labor on the campus, even though we can't go to the campus personally. So it's not just alone, my family. Actually, Brother Neil and I prayed that we would have another family to labor with, right? So the Lord answered that prayer. This is about a year ago. The Lord answered that prayer and brought us together with another family, and that's where Brother Jeremy can speak. So his family and our family have really endeavored together to be a net where our homes could be open, and we have a lot of traffic back and forth, increasingly so, between our homes. And it's really been a sweet experience just being together, knit with another family throughout the week, more and more times in each other's homes.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm really nervous. I'm going to try and get through this, but I'm just so happy to be up here sharing our experience of being revitalized, coming to life in the homes, not through a home meeting, but just being in the home in a normal way with students, with this family. You know, a little bit of background. At the end of during last year, we were really praying. We had been in home meetings, and we were really praying that the Lord would do something. We wanted to be a part of the campus work. My wife and I, we have a young baby daughter, and we just wanted to be involved, and our prayers really focused on that. And then last December, they had the 21 days of prayer, and Tim and I started getting together. We worked near each other, and we'd start praying, and he invited us over to their home. He was specific not to use the word home meeting, but just over to their home. And that's where I met Gabriel and his roommate, Richie. And surprisingly enough, these brothers also wanted to pray during these 21 days of prayer. And real quick, but after that ended, Gabriel and I continued. We pray three times a week. We pray in the mornings. And it's really been my salvation and has brought me into function. I just praise the Lord for being in a home in a normal way. And like Tim said, not just, I think in the past that's really been the issue, but not just being there for the home meeting. Right. It almost becomes just like the meeting life again, except you're going to a home one time a week. That was our experience. We're community saints, you know, just working. But really, that has been our salvation and have been an opportunity to meet students. And other students have come in and been able to labor on them as well. Amen. And it's really been a blessing.
Amen.
I'm Robert Hengst. Boy, am I nervous. Whew. Sorry. So my first meeting in the church life was a table meeting, and then my second meeting was a college meeting. And I remember going to the college meeting, and that completely changed my life. And from that time on, for about 20 years, all I did was morning, noon, and night was with the college students. I had them in my homes in the for morning revival. I went to them for lunch and had them in the house for the, you know, the night, spend the night, the weekends. You know, this was 20 years of my life. And then about 6 years ago, I had a little setback, and I was just going through some difficult things. And all of a sudden, my house was quiet, and it was calm, and it was a coffin. It's really what it became. Didn't have much choice in the matter, but that's what happened to me. So anyway, this semester, my wife and I decided we would have some students in our home again. 6 years. So two full-timers brought some students over for dessert. And I don't know what they got out of it, but my heart got activated. All I can say is my heart began to flutter again, and I began to have a burden again. I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is what I missed for 6 years. And so we began to invite people over for lunch and, you know, try having Shelby in your house for 2 hours and not get excited, you know, and have Ty in your house and not get excited. I mean, it's been tremendous. And just one story. One time we had these brothers over, a human brought over a gaggle full of brothers, and we just had the best time. I think it was about 3 hours, and we were just having, at least I was having a good time, I thought. Anyway, so as they were going home, I texted Ewan and I said, Ewan, that was the best time I've had in just forever. And he wrote back and goes, and they want to come back next week. And so the same group of brothers came back the following week. And all I can say is our house has gone from, you know, that coffin of problems to full of life, full of vigor, full of enjoyment. And I'm just so, so happy.
I just want to share just real quickly. I forgot something, but this spreads. You know, this started in Tim's home with these students, but eventually they started coming over to our house, and not just on Fridays, but during the week. Yeah. I'd get texts from Gabe and, hey, what are you doing today? Well, I'm working. What are you doing after work? Can I come over? Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Saints, there's no better gospel to children than having the students in your home.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brothers. Okay, and then we'll... letter C, let's read it together. Ready? Go. Developing layers. You know, we labor and layer by layer, year by year. We develop these layers in the church, and the church becomes strong and full of layers of these new students, okay? We need to labor in this way. Letter D, let's read this. A great... Yeah, did you know that this word is actually here in the ministry? Diaspora. This is the spreading. And so these students are the best ones to spread the Lord's move all over the earth. Right? They're the spreaders. And so this is a big point, but we need to move on quickly to letter E. Let's read this last point. Ready? Go. Potential. Okay, so this is the great potential for these students. And we have a last pop-up, so come up quickly. The brother Doug and the two sisters. And I'd like to share your experience here because I have a very pertinent testimony regarding this matter.
Anyway, these two sisters are students at UT. And they're from a little town on the border called Eagle Pass. And we in San Marcos are involved with a group of about 10 students also from Eagle Pass and Piedras Negras right across the river. And I was just looking at this point, the verse, 1 Peter 1:1, it says, to the sojourners of the dispersion of Pontus, etc. And how that this means, the dispersion means to scatter, spread abroad, or to sow. And I just was considering, you know, these students that we're taking care of on the campus, they really are like seeds that are being sowed and spread, especially when they go home to visit their families. Right. They've been enjoying Christ to some extent. They're in the Word. And they go there and they live Christ and speak Christ to their families. And so there's a spreading and a dispersing of the Word and of Christ to their families. Yeah. And so anyway, because of this group that we're involved with and these two sisters, we have been going, making trips down to these cities on the border. These cities are right just north of Laredo area. There's no, church life in these places, but it's been a real joy for us to travel there. And to we go mainly when the students are home, and that way we're able to contact them, but also to meet their families and their friends and other relatives and other believers in those communities. And I told some brothers, you know, I said, you know, every time we go, there's just a flow. And we meet new people every time we go, different families, different friends, and different situations. Anyway, now I believe through these students, something's beginning to sprout there in these cities. And through their being there and through our being able to go there, We made a gospel trip there last January to Eagle Pass, and we spent about 5 days there visiting the students, visiting their families, getting to know them and other people in those communities, and we kind of consummated with a little gathering on Saturday. Saturday we were there at a community center. We had a gathering, and eventually there was about 70 saints there, not just only from Eagle Pass, but there were saints from Austin. There were saints from San Marcos, from Laredo, and from San Antonio. So other places have also picked up the burden to go there because these students are from that area. And the Lord's, we believe the Lord's doing something. And each time we go, we take the ministry with us. We take recovery versions. We take ministry books, especially in Spanish and things like this. So the Lord is rich. And we're praying that there would be a home or some homes that would begin to meet together. And it, by doing this, there will be a way to gather these seeking ones together into the homes. Sisters.
So I didn't know the saints had a burden for Eagle Pass. But when I found out about this, it just touched my heart because it's where I was raised and was born. And just a few visits that the San Marcos saints have done, some of my family members have gone and just talked about the word and about the church that I'm meeting with. And it's very encouraging for me because for the past 2 years that I met with the church life, I haven't been able to like really talk to them about the church that I'm meeting with, but just through these saints and just through the word that they're speaking, you know, they have planted a seed. And they have one of the home meetings that we had was I brought my brother, and just for him to just receive the word that they were speaking, was very, very touching for me. Just yeah, and he will be coming to Austin next semester, so hopefully that seed will be filled with Christ again. So, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So I go here to school in Austin, and I just finished my fourth year. I'm going to start my next semester. But I just wanted to give a little background. I have a cousin that came here for a year. She was gained, and she entered the Lord's Recovery. But then she transferred to San Marcos at Texas State, and she met the saints and got connected there. And that kind of gave a way for the saints to come to Eagle Pass. And they gained a burden for Eagle Pass. Praise the Lord. So from this January, I really enjoyed that the saints took the time to visit the homes and meet at the homes. They met at my uncle's and aunt's house where my cousin lives. And they just opened their homes. And there was much blending. We just read the word. We were singing. There was testimonies when they visited my home and got to blend with my parents. So I really appreciated that there was a mutual fellowship. Amen. It wasn't just like one way, like them speaking to my parents and my parents listening, but it was very mutual and very normal, very enjoyable to see. And also something I really appreciated was that after, I thought it was like a mini conference, I really appreciated that they were giving out free ministry books and they were giving out free recovery versions. And I really noticed that my mom in particular, she got hungry for the word after this mini conference. So like for the rest of the break, I really enjoyed reading the recovery version with footnotes with her and to see how she thought it was really sweet and she just wanted more. So I just gained a real or more of an appreciation for the body. Amen. You know, and I just appreciate it so much. Praise the Lord for the body. Amen. And I just ask for you guys to pray, keep praying for Eagle Pass, for the Lord to spread there and to gain Eagle Pass. Amen. For his move.
Just real quick, one of the brothers from Piedras we met, when he first met us, he met Boaz at the table, and he said, do you know Watchman Nee? And anyway, I guess because Boaz is Asian, but that showed us that Brother Watchman Nee's ministry has gotten sowed into that area through the Christian bookstores in that area. And so we found a lot of very open believers seeking believers in that area. So, amen. Amen.
Thank you, saints.
So we see the critical role of the students, right? Amen. In bearing remaining fruit on the college campuses in all these ways. So thanks for hanging on. I know it was a long night. Some of the heads are hanging low here, but you hung with us. And we'll wrap it up right now. But we have to be impressed. Praise the Lord, we need the students, right? Thank the Lord for His present move among all of us to build us into the threefold cord to bear remaining fruit for His purpose. Amen.